Welcome to the Casual Campers Podcast, your home for the best camping discussion both in and out of the field. Here are your hosts, Tim and Aid.
Hello, welcome back to another Casual Campers Podcast. I'm Aid.
And I am Tim, of course.
You know the script. We are the Casual Campers. We're talking all things casual camping. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing all right, Aid. I'm doing all right, actually. I'm missing being camping. It's now a couple of weeks since I had my epic winter fantasticness. But this episode ain't about me, is it?
It hell isn't. No way, sorry, Bob.
What, you been up to, Ed?
I just been camping, you know. Just been camping. You know, just dead cash, like, you know, just camping, you know. Have you not? Is everybody not?
You know what, man? So it's so bloody funny. You know, I think I'm getting the last camping trip in of the year. But no. 2 weeks later, you got to trump me by going camping.
The thing is that I rearranged going to see relatives the week before, like further away from Christmas, because this was down.
Damn those relatives for getting in the way.
Talking about my father, but oh. Them relatives.
Okay. He's my father too.
Only when you want him to be. A father isn't just for Christmas.
All right, let's stop this now before it gets uncomfortable.
So I went wild camping with my top mate, Chris, who has been sharing his tent. Actually, all this site is to do with Chris, to be honest, because he worked with somebody that had some woods, and he was saying that he quite liked to go camping, and they said, well, you go camping all you want. That was amazing. A few years ago. That guy sold that woods, but sold us as a going concern. That was like, well, my mates go camping. So we've got locks to the keys. We make sure that we don't leave any trace. And it's been a happy time. And winter tends to have been the happiest time there, because in the summer there's a lot of bugs and various other things, whereas the winter, no bugs. We've got sort of tent stoves. It kind of really, we've really suffered down there sometimes at -6, which in woodland can be, you know, that's a cold night.
That's a cold night. To be -6 in amongst the trees is, that's a cold night. How big's the woodland?
So I think like a lot of woodland when I've seen them for sale, because I have looked, I know you've looked.
Yeah,
normally, rather than, you know, a 30-acre woodland, they parcel it off in lots of 1 acres. And it's maybe sort of about sort of 5 or 6 acres, and there's 5 or 6 people that own it. There's one track in, there's one track out. There's various padlocks on the gate, all sort of interlinked so that everybody's got their own key to get in and their own padlock, but not for the other one. So, yeah, it's really smartly done. And it's in Worcestershire, and, yeah, it's just cracking. I don't know about you, but there's something peaceful about woods for me.
Yeah, there is me. I haven't done too much camping in amongst the trees, and I know...
Yeah, we've not a lot of campsites out there, are there?
No. And we've talked about hammock camping, that neither of us have given that a go, and that's certainly something I'd like to have on my list for next year. Is going to some woods and proper hammock camping with a tarp and everything. But no, there is, you know, it's lovely walking through woods, isn't it? You know, hiking through woods and everything. It's just, you know, it's quieter. Something really nice about proper wood.
I was going to make a joke then about your hammock. What do they say, Tim, about once you hammock, you don't go back?
Was that meant to be a joke?
It's a dad joke. I'm a dad. I'm allowed. It's quite poor. I've not been drinking yet, so maybe I need to start. Or stop.
Let's pause and go get some port.
Lovely port roasting on a fire, warming nicely. So we've had this for about 7 years. We've been going three or four times a year. You know,
They've not got sick of you yet.
Well, we never see anybody there. We never come across anybody at all. At the top, there's a little shack that somebody's built. This time in, there was a car there that said dog patrol. But, you know, we didn't see anybody about. So it's all very much just woodland. And it's it's not ancient woodland by any means. It's very fast growing, tall trees. Falling over. There's loads of wood on the floor, so we can burn whatever we want. I think that's the other aspect to it, that going camping on site, you don't get to prepare wood anymore.
No.
Actually, collecting wood, getting it around, chopping it up to the nice consistency. If it's a bit damp, splitting it open so that you've got the drier wood there. Maybe putting it around your campfire to dry it out before it goes on. There's quite a few things that I really love about wild camping that you don't get anywhere else if you're on a main site.
Yeah, and that sort of preparing wood is part of the fun, isn't it? It's part of the...
Gets you nice and warm. Mm.
Before you've lit your fire. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so that's the thing. I think the probably the next stage would be to, and I don't really fancy this, but making kind of, I see people doing it with using boughs to then make a little place where you'd camp the night, a little den, and using leaves against it. And I was creepy crawlies. I'm just a bit too, even in winter, you don't want that.
I've seen a lot of those videos where people like dig into the ground a bit and then build a roof over the top. And yes, I know if you get in the ground, then you reach a constant temperature. So actually, you're much, much better if you do that. But, you know, it's filthy. It might fill up with water. It's going to have creepy crawlies in it. The creepy crawlies normally creepy crawling, they've dug down to that warm layer. That's how they survive in the winter. So if you dig down to that layer, it's going to be full of creepy crawlies. I don't want to camp with them.
And don't get me wrong, if I was on alone, that is what I'd be doing. I'd find a little dip or something like that, and I'd go down a foot and a half. One, so that you've got that residual heat, but also that, you know, you don't have to build as much above. You don't have to protect yourself from those bears, grizzlies, and whatever else that come along. So I'd do it there, but not in England, really. Yeah. You know, I think we don't get that cold anymore, so... Yeah.
To be honest, you know, it's a lot of hassle, really. You know, if I've already driven there and I've got all my stuff and I've brought a tent, I'm probably just going to put the tent up. Probably just going to put my bell tent up.
I'm just going to put the bell. Can I put my fire in it? Yes. Yeah. No. I'm agreed.
Are they? What are they doing? I'm intrigued by this wood. What are these people doing with it? Have they bought it as like an investment to like cut the trees down and regrow them and sort of forest make money from the forest?
To be honest, I've not seen too much of that. There's not an awful lot of... There's a lot of things falling over. It doesn't look like it needs a lot of care. But I would have thought it was something, if you are woodland, that you go and prepare wood and saves you buying anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's tracks in and tracks out. When we first went, they'd redone all the tracks, and it was very gravelly. We were camping on the gravel, which was quite hard wearing. I had a cot at the time, and it wore a hole in the bottom of my tent because me turning over on a night and the plastic feet on that.
Was it rocking?
Let's just say I might have been swaying with the drink.
Oh, mildly fitting.
Potatoes.
What the? I did look at some when I was looking at bits of woodland to buy, and I did see that there is a rule in certainly in the UK. I know in other parts of the world you can build a blooming house on anything anywhere else in the blooming world, but in the UK the building regulation laws are just utterly stupid. However, if you do have a woodland, you can build your own shack on it. It can't have running water, it can't have electricity, or certainly not mains electricity. But you can have that, and you can stay in it as long as you are maintaining the woodland, and they do come along and check every once in a while that actually you are like coppicing or something like that. It's absolutely fine to do that. You're absolutely fine to build something that's like, you know, 15 foot high, and you know, it's you can do that. I would love that. I mean, obviously that's not camping. That's having a cabin in the woods, but it'd be great as like a bug out location or something like that.
It's that, you know, we quite often talk about a happy place. You know, for me, it's that happy place of it's peaceful. Like you said, recharge last week, you know, and I really do feel that it is a recharge. I get to burn stuff, which is, you know, that's my happy place. Burn fire, throw it all on. You know, that's really, really good. But yeah, so over the years, it's been an absolute, it's tested us in lots of ways. I can remember coming out after, you know, being really cold in the winter and people saying, you know, that had put me off again. I was like, no, we just got something wrong. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, that,
we talked about that before, haven't we? That actually, if something lets you down, or if something's not been quite right, that's half the challenge, really, because then you've got to figure out, well, why did that let you down? How do I make that better? Do I need to go spend some more cash and get something else? Which invariably.
Yes. But yeah. So, so for, I don't know, the last 2 or 3 years, I had a tent teepee. I've sold that last year. I think I've said many times on this, but Chris has then bought a tent teepee. Always quite liked that. Wanted to have his own stuff. He's bought himself a stove, and he's been very generous with the fact that he's allowed me to share that. You know, that's what we've been doing. I know normally summer months, like my own little tent, like my own little space. But when it gets to sort of winter and you know, it's as much about the company, and we had a fire outside when it was getting dark. We got there quite well, it was about 3:30 that we got there, and we had about 45 minutes of light. So driving down into it and then pitching up, just gets, and it gets really dark there, you know, quite quickly. So yeah, that was an experience. A few years ago we got, so I used to take my car in, and it was fine while ever the gravel was there, the gravel paths and everything. But then over the years, or it's quite overgrown. So the paths get leaves on every year from autumn. And this time it felt a bit spongy going down. I got my car stuck a few years ago, so we stopped going down so far. But there's one good camping spot that overlooks, and I will be putting some pictures up of this. But then we got stuck, and it took us ages to get my car out. My mate Chris has got a 4x4, so we went down in that, and we've been happy as Larry ever since.
Cool.
But it was very boggy. We've had loads of rain in the UK. It was really boggy. It was boggy on the way down. There was quite a bit of slipping. And when we got down there, it was quite boggy. Chris, we put up the tent, and just quite
Oh. I think you've frozen.
Oh, I think you've frozen.
Oh, sorry. Uh-huh. Internet wow. connection is unstable, it says again.
Oh, dear. Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you're back. I can see you. I can hear you. It's
okay.
You froze on the screen. I got the Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm on. So this time was a bit boggy, and we had a great night. It was a good catch up. Sometimes we go and it's hell for leather, a bit of a party. We get the music blaring. We get mm-hmm. a fire going, and it can be quite wild, even though there's just the two of us. And other times it's more about catching up and, you know, using some of the gear and doing some of the burning and, a bit more. This was about sort of half and half, really, because we were quite excited that we'd not been wild camping for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Is
this the first winter with his new tent and stove?
Yes, yeah, and it worked.
So that's always that's always exciting, isn't it?
Because
you feel like you're proper testing your gear when the season gets cold and the weather changes. So that's quite exciting to take it out and really give it a good go.
Yeah, and also I think the challenge that we've got. So One Tigris Rock Fortress mm-hmm. has a slightly different vent stove jack to vent the tent stove.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I was nervous that while ever my stove was in my tent, I put a couple of holes in the tent TP, just little droppy burns that came out of the wood that I was using. Out of the chimney. So I was quite nervous that this is somebody else's tent and we're using it. So, yeah, I was really careful. I've got this heatproof webbing that goes around one section of the pipe. I had to adjust where that exited. I've got a half length of the pipe, so we adjusted that so it was just right. Hmm. And it was all quite perfect. So it was quite technical stuff as well, using somebody else's. But I was quite nervous that I didn't want to,
You don't want to damage someone else's stuff. And I know I took the mic last time saying, really, it'd be really exciting for you because you're taking somebody else's stuff. And if it's really muddy, well, it's their stuff. But the last thing you want to do is see anybody's gear get wrecked. And like you say, you don't want sparky burns in anything.
Sparky Burns. So, got some kiln dried wood.
That's a good name, isn't it? Sparky Burns.
Sparky Burns. Yeah. Robert Burns is a legitimate son. Chris is very laid back, chilled, and quite cool. So he was like, yeah, it's muddy, but what can you do? We're not going to take our boots off every time we come in the tent. So it was, I don't like it being boggy. I'm respectful of any kind of kit anyway, and make sure it's used properly. And yeah, he was really relaxed about it as well. So top marks to
That's
Chris.
Cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you hear my house phone going off?
No.
Oh, well, that's all right then. The house phone isn't going off then. Oh. Somebody's phoning. I'm ignoring it.
Yeah. So, early evening fire. We had some burgers. We just had some very, very basic food of burgers, hot dog sausages, nicely sort of just done on the fire outside. And then when it got to about 7:30, 8 o'clock, moved inside, mainly because we were burning more wood outside and we hadn't prepared loads. It had been really wet this week, so we'd taken more wood with us.
Mm-hmm.
But I was aware that the kiln-dried wood I needed for the fire.
Yeah, so, and I was a bit gutted that it was, when I was camping a couple of weeks ago, I was on my own and I didn't take my fire pit for outside because I knew I'd just be inside. I was a bit gutted about that because it is nice sitting outside with a big fire. but you don't half rattle through the wood. It's you know, you just burn through it so quickly. Whereas the little stove is it's just so economical. I still can't get over really how much wood I brought home. It's it's mad.
Yeah, well, and we effectively had one bag of kiln dried, you know, what's that, 25 kilo bag, and some kindling. We used most of the kindling outside and a few bits of the kiln dried, and then the rest of it. And we had enough to boil some water. We had hot chocolates in the morning.
Hot
chocolates coming away. But
that's nice.
I mean, it all sounds like a really happy story, doesn't it?
Oh no!
it sounds
like a dream.
Weren't you lucky? Oh, isn't it amazing? But the clincher is, while camping's no more, we've agreed that we won't go back there now.
Oh my God! Why?
When it was boggy, and it's just getting. It was boggy when it was dry in the summer, and it was extra boggy. There was, you know, we were just walking around in mud by the end of it. And I think this is, even though there's a lot of hardcore there in the patch, that actually just over time, you know, the worms are doing their bit. You've got leaf fall and everything else that's happening. I think when there's a hill to one side of it, and when that gets a lot of rain on it, there's some things that wash off there. So the spot, the flat spot that we're on, was really quite boggy. And, you know, if it was like that in the summer, it's certainly like that in the winter. It's just harder wearing on your stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Chris has taken his tent home and he's going to hose it down before the next thing. It's out on his line probably right now. But then, trying to get back up the hill, this 4x4 didn't work. So,
oh crap!
Had an absolute mare trying to, like, for 3 hours, going like, "What the hell are we going to do?" Giving it a run up.
3 hours.
3 hours.
Oh my God.
We found a pile of chippings, stones and stuff. So we had to relay that to get us up one bit. And then we were like just scraping leaves away and various other things.
Oh my God.
And so yeah, it kind of like, as we were doing that, and I was pushing the car, he was driving it, there was wheel spinning all over, it wouldn't have been an issue with the four wheels going. And he's going to look at fixing that. That's the second time we've had a car stuck.
Oh, so was his four-wheel drive not working?
I don't think the rear wheels were kicking in, and so he's having a look at that. But it just second time. And it's 2-3 years since I've taken my car out down there. We went a couple more times, but we were carrying everything down.
Yeah.
And it's quite a steep hill. So I was starting to take less and less kit. So it was becoming a bit more rough and ready, which you and I both know that's not what I go camping for. I want all the stuff to hand that I want.
That's not our game. We like all the gear.
Yeah. And then, so it just really just taken the shine off it. So
that's a real shame.
We've called it. We've just gone, I think that's it. You know,
it's like you've said this before, if it lets you down, it's dead to you.
yeah. But, and I mean, that's proper wild camping. It you know, it really is. But who wants to be camping in mud all the time?
Who wants
to be really wearing their stuff out that bad? And you're not going to enjoy it going down into the depths of where this is, thinking that, can I get my car out?
Yeah.
Is the four-wheel drive going to be? Because he didn't, you know, he said the light's on. It's just, it doesn't feel like the rear wheels are kicking in.
That's
the happy story that, you know, it was everything about it, and we had a great time, don't get me wrong, but
you're just not going to go again. Oh my God.
So there's a lesson there, really. You know, wild camping sites, when you find them, are great, But sometimes you just got to call it when you go, you know what, this is becoming a little bit too bothersome. So we once we got out, and like I said, I was up at 6. We were packed up by 8. We didn't get out of there until nearly 12.
Blumenheck.
So, and literally we were panicking. It was like, what's within our power to do before we have to walk up and go find a farmer? You know, so...
What's his 4x4? What is it?
So it's a Hyundai car come Jeep. Really spacious, very heavy to push, very solid car, really solid car. Just...
Mad.
Yeah.
Not and, the sort of thing you'd, thing, you'd stick a winch on the front.
I think that's the other thing. But yeah, you couldn't do it with that. So yeah. So we've got to find
another wood somewhere now.
We're going to go camping in January, of which you're welcome and included to come with us. We're going to find a site. And then do that while we start looking for wild camping sites that have that, you know, maybe start asking farmers, how do you find these things? You know, we really looked out with this when it came along. The bit that we camped on in these woods wasn't actually the site that the guy owned. It was just good flat bit that overlooked the stream and stuff. So I was like, here we'll do.
We're having that bit. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if there's any listeners out there who happen to own a little bit of land, a little parcel somewhere that you wouldn't mind some casual campers coming along, we leave no trace. We look after it. We don't. We won't wreck anything. We'd be very grateful to be allowed.
And we like
to come
company.
Absolutely,
company. We're quite easygoing guys, aren't we?
We're pretty casual. You know, come join us. Join us for a beer and you know. We'll do some food. We'll have a bit of a cookout. That'd be cool.
So I got my refresh.
And I was going to say, did you recharge? It sounds like you did.
Really did. And that last bit has kind of gone into the sort of the memory of it. It's like, right, okay, well, but that would also colour the next time we were going there.
You'd be really nervous, wouldn't you, going back to it?
Yeah, just...
You know, you'd be... Or at least you'd be thinking, well, I'm only going to go when I know it's been dry for at least 2 weeks. But if it's in a proper dip, like what you're describing, and quite deep into the woods, you know, it's...
Yeah.
You need a warm summer and, you know, several weeks of warm weather before that's going to dry out enough for you to... even think about going in.
Just that leaf fall that just doesn't get cleared, so it's built up over time, and in the end we were scraping away where the wheels went for like hundreds of yards in order to get up this hill, and we got up the first bit, got a bit of momentum, and then the next bit, and it was like halfway up that. So but we did it. We were resourceful.
I've seen a
pile of stones down there. Let's go get that. Found the log bag, used it to scatter up and down the things. Mm-hmm. And it kept doing it. So we're like, we know we're getting there, but I'm not built for pushing cars up hills. I'm really not.
No.
To be honest, I'm built better than Chris is because I weigh a few stone heavier than he does. But, you know, he was better in the driving seat.
God, I worked with, in a previous job, I worked with someone who did like weightlifting and like Britain's Strongest Man, stuff like that. Massive guy. And I said, how do you actually train for like pulling a train and stupid stuff like that? He said, I fit as many big blokes in a car as I can and I push it up a hill. I went, blummin' heck. You know, you kind of needed him. You needed him. He'd have got you. He'd have picked the car up under one arm, you under the other, and just walked out. Giant of a guy, taller than me, and I'm 6'2". And broad, just absolutely massive guy. But I was like, blummin' heck, you fill a car with loads of people and just push it up hills.
Yeah, and that's the thing, because the track that we come down on, it's muddy in the middle and it's got stones on the side, but so all of it was just quite slippy trying to get birches and properly push.
Did you have any like comedy moments where the wheels just spun and splattered you top to bottom with mud?
Not really. No, there was a couple of nervous moments, but it was fine. It was just
I can hear you cursing now.
And that's the thing that you know, I said it and Chris said it at the same time, and it was like, yeah, I think this is done, isn't it? And you know, that's a shame. Until we buy our own woodland and we sort those things out, you know, a bit of upkeep. But I guess if you own that woodland, you've probably got a Jeep or a Land Rover or something that's got a winch that gets you down and back quite easily.
Or you come up with some ingenious kind of pulley system where you can like lower like crates of your gear down on a pulley system and a winch, so that you then just like, you're not having to drive down there. And I'm thinking all Indiana Jones stuff, but So did you do much boy kissing with your chaps on?
No would be the quick answer. It seemed like I was trying to say something funny then. Just say no. Neither of us that sort of floats our boat, and we've got partners, so you know.
It's all gravy, as they say. It's all gravy.
I wish I'd taken some lip still, you know, the chapstick stuff. And done a little picture of both of us going, "Chaps." You didn't know where I was going there, did you?
I didn't know where you were going with that. I'm thinking you'd managed to, like, you know, get yourself out of that last hole. You're just kind of throwing yourself back in. But no, that would have been really funny. That would have been really funny. But no, it's a shame it's kind of reached its end. But some places do, don't they, when you camp in. Yeah. It's like you absolutely love a new campsite and a new great campsite. And then suddenly something happens and you just think, I ain't going there again. I'm going to find somewhere else that's my new favorite. And you just got to find a new one.
I mean, that's the thing, isn't it? That you've been on some of our favorite sites on certain days in the summer months and you go, this was too much. This was too much for me. And like we're saying, you adjust. You go on a Friday or you go on a Sunday now, where everybody else has cleared off and you've got more or less the peacefulness of the whole site. And I think that's the thing. And maybe that's why, you know, winter's become my favorite time. When you can get on sites, there's just less people about. Or they're in camper vans somewhere else and keeping themselves to themselves. They're less outdoor than you are. So
And you know, certainly that site I was on up in Edale, there was a few camper vans. There was a group of people in tents, but they not very many, you know. And it is quite nice actually to be on a nice site. But actually have it pretty much to yourself, and that is quite nice, you know. That's the good thing, like you say, about winter camping is most campers aren't doing it. They've cleared off and they've packed their stuff away until maybe May or something like that next year. But it gives you the opportunity to get out there and have, you know, get in some really nice places with, you know, either no facilities or some nice facilities. But you've got it to yourself. It's great.
Yeah. And that's the thing that I really loved about wild camping. And there's a lot more wild camping sites out there where, you know, it's rough and ready. There's maybe one portaloo or something like that. They don't put much on and you can make a bit of noise if you want to.
Yeah.
I don't like the sites that, you know, shush you at 10 o'clock. You know, we've been there, music up, full volume, you know, partying till whenever, and actually there's nobody to tell us any different.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I can just see you and Chris throwing shapes.
You know, it's like, woo, pass us the port. It happens. It happens.
Rock and roll passes the port.
Passes the port.
I'm laughing, but I take a bottle of port every time I go camping now.
You were the
lovely
one that started it. You bought that bottle of port, turning it on the stove. And I was like, I brought that for Chris. And Chris was like, that port was lovely, wasn't it? I was like, yes, gently warmed.
Gently warmed and turned next to the fire. It's absolutely amazing.
So, you know, that's what I really like about it. And, you know, like I said before, doing the preparing of the wood, you know, getting your different sort of size of logs together, using my saw, that, you know, just getting everything down into nice, precise things. It only takes you sort of half an hour to do some of those things, collecting it, knowing where the wood is. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
That is the fun,
really,
though,
like.
That is the fun of
that's
camping.
The fun, and you don't get that on a site. So, no, you know, if anybody knows somewhere, you know, one, call us. We're on social media. You know the drill. Casual campers, DM us and things. You know, we're gladly come and, you know, make a noise.
Cascamppod@gmail.com. Send us an email. Reach out to us. It's
if you want us to test your wild camping site, we'll do the hell out of that. And we'll leave no trace.
And we'll, yes,
we'll maybe tidy up your wood as well, you know.
Yeah, you know, we'll clean it all around and everything. Just make sure that we can get in and get out again.
So there was a I wanted to do a shout out to somebody that interacted with us this week.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah. Lewis Ruckman sent us a picture on Casual Campers. Cool. That guy, it was on Facebook. That guy travels basic, but it looked like a really good setup.
Yeah.
He had a good bed, a good chair. And I think it was like a bug's nest. So it might have been in the summer, but it looked good.
Yeah.
Lewis. Cool. Thanks, Lewis, for the interactions. Like I say, anybody wants a shout out? Anybody that's listening, show us some pictures on Facebook, DM us on Instagram. And Tim's giving you the email message. For us. So
have a, you know, If you like the podcast, which, you know, a lot of you are doing, which is amazing, give us make sure that you're following and share it. You know, share it with your share it with your camping buddies.
Mm. Well, cool. I think that's it. I've been
Abe. All right. I've been Tim.
Get camping,
and we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye bye.
Welcome to the Casual Campers 1 Minute Mindfulness, but is it rain, fire or sizzling sausages? You decide.